The Old Testament reading this morning comes from Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons, and you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. The epistle reading comes from 2 Corinthians. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, 'I believed, and so I spoke.' We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning and welcome to All Saints. We continue this morning in looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me pray for us as we do. Father, we do thank you so much for your word, and we ask that you'd give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand, and wills to obey, that we might see Jesus high and lifted up, and that we might become a little bit more like him this morning. For his sake we pray. Amen. Parents, one of the greatest joys you have in being parents is giving gifts to your children. Children, one of the greatest joys you have in being children is receiving gifts from your parents. One of the things I love to do as a parent is to give gifts to our kids, especially to give them something that I know that they've been wanting for a long time. I love seeing their smiles, their joy, their laughter as they receive a good gift. And I love it when they receive that gift and in some way repackage, remake, re-gift that gift back to me. They re-gift it in the form of a card, in the form of a hug, of a thank you, in the form of saying, Dad, let's enjoy this gift together. They have received and they want to give in return. That's a true gift. True gifts received always result in new gifts given. Now, sometimes as parents, these gifts aren't repackaged and re-gifted in ways that we expect. I remember years ago giving to our oldest son the very first Toy Story on VHS. And he loved that gift, and he'd watch that gift, and every time he watched it, he'd say, thank you. Well, one day we were out shopping, and I was carrying him through the parking lot, and he yelled at me, put me down, you moron. That's not exactly the way that we are looking for that gift to be repackaged and re-given. But gifts given, gifts received, this is what life is all about. Friends, this is what the Bible is all about. It doesn't matter if you're someone who identifies as a Christian and has been a Christian for a very long time, or if you're someone here this morning who's exploring what it means to be a Christian. Giving and receiving gifts is essential to being a human. Giving and receiving gifts is essential to being a Christian. And so this morning we want to look at this fundamental and this foundational practice and how Paul tells us about this practice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, God is a great gift giver. And the Bible is all about how God gives good gifts to his children and how we as his children, we as his image bearers are to receive those gifts and repackage and remake and reshape them and giving them back to him and back to others. God is a great gift giver, has given us a beautiful gift of creation. He's given us the even more beautiful gift of salvation. He continues to give us a beautiful gift of his word and of his people and of his sacraments. And most fully and most completely, he's given us a gift of himself in his Son and in his Spirit. And when we properly receive the gifts of God, we give them back to him. They're reciprocated. They're always remade and repackaged and re-gifted in small but real ways. When we rightly receive the gifts of God, this should evoke in us a desire to give back what we have been given. When the gift of creation is rightly received, we want to repackage and remake it and re-gift it in the form of art, of music, of literature, of education, of discovery, of inquiry, of rest. When the gift of salvation is properly received, we should repackage and remake it and re-gift it in the form of service, of hospitality, of generosity, of love of neighbor, of love for the poor. When the gift of the Son is properly and wisely received, we should repackage and remake and re-gift him by becoming like him as living sacrifices. The Son is the highest, the most perfect, the most complete living sacrifice, the greatest gift that has ever been given. He gave his life. He gave his life as a sacrifice. And through his resurrection, he didn't remain a dead sacrifice. He remained a living sacrifice. And he now sits at the Father's right hand as a living and ruling and reigning sacrifice. Our sacrifice lives. And if you belong to Jesus, then this is what you are called to be in him, to become a living sacrifice. And as you more and more receive the gift of Christ, you will more and more become like him and become a living sacrifice yourself. So this morning we want to try to answer two questions from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What is a living sacrifice and how do we become living sacrifices? First, what is a living sacrifice? In our text, Paul alludes to two different ways in which we become living sacrifices. First, he gives us this analogy, this imagery, this motif of being a jar of clay. He says that we've received this treasure. We've received this gift in jars of clay. We've received this great and beautiful and amazing gift, the gift of the gospel, the gift of the grace of God, the gift of salvation, the gift of God himself. But we've received it in these jars of clay. This gift, this treasure has been given to us, but it's been given to us, been given to those who are weak and needy and helpless and powerless. Paul talks about jars of clay. And I think one of the things that he's referring to is an Old Testament story, the story of Gideon and his army. And you can read about Gideon and his army in Judges chapter 7. It's a story of military conquest. See, to be a soldier, to be in the military, is to be a sacrifice. It's to give yourself to your country, to your family, to your cause. And your hope and your goal as a soldier and being a sacrifice is that you would be a living sacrifice and not a dead one. The strangest thing happens to Gideon and his army. As they're preparing for war against the Midianites, they have 32,000 men who are ready to be sacrifices for Israel. And God says, no, that's not the way this is going to happen. Cut it down. And God keeps pruning Gideon's army from 32,000 to only 300. And those 300 men go to war with the strangest instruments of war. In their right hand, they're holding trumpets. And in their left hand, they're holding torches that are covered in these jars of clay. And when they get to the surprise attack on the Midianites, they break these jars of clay so that their light of their torch might shine, and they start to blow their trumpets. And this startles the enemy, and they have the most miraculous victory. And God preserves these soldiers as living sacrifices. And so to be a living sacrifice is to be a part of God's kingdom, is to be a soldier for him. But it's to engage in battle. It's to be a soldier in the most strange and in the most subversive way. We don't fight battles the way that the world fights battle. We're not after power and fame and worldly success. The story of Christianity is how God's kingdom, God's victory over sin and death and the evil one is brought into the world, not by might and by power, but by his spirit in these strange stories like Gideon and his army. And what we learn from that story is that living sacrifices are subversive. They hide torches in jars of clay. Their lives are counterintuitive. Their lives are upside down. Their lives are backwards. They are fundamentally and primarily servants. So to be a living sacrifice is to be a subversive servant. The second thing that Paul alludes to in this text is he talks about being a living sacrifice by referring to the death of Jesus. He says in the beginning of verse 10 that we carry in our bodies the very death of Jesus. We carry around the death of Jesus everywhere we go, living sacrificially, self-denying lives. And so Paul in this section calls us to live cruciform lives. To live a cruciform life is to put the cross of Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus, the gift of the Son at the center of everything that we do. To live a cruciform life is to always, in everywhere that you go, in your home life, in your work life, in your vocational life, in your recreational life, to live in light of the cross, to live in light of this great gift of God's self-sacrificing love. So friends, your call is to become a living sacrifice. And you will never, ever become a living sacrifice the way that God intends you to be one, apart from the cross. And as you grow more and more in understanding this amazing gift that God has given his very life to you, you will be energized and you will want to re-gift that gift by becoming a living sacrifice yourself. And Paul helps us to understand what this means for our lives by calling attention to two fundamental aspects of our lives, our actions and our speech. But notice Paul's order. In verses 8 to 12, he speaks of sacrificial action, sacrificial living. He speaks about being afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, carrying around the body of Jesus, living for Jesus' sake. He highlights sacrificial action. He begins with action. And then, in verse 13, he starts to talk about sacrificial speech, sacrificial words. He quotes from Psalm 116 saying, "I believed, and so I spoke." And he's teaching us and showing us that to be a living sacrifice is to have all of your life, all your actions and all your work, all your words tied up in seeking to live in light of the cross of Jesus. But notice Paul's order. It's first action and then speech. And this is strange to us because normally we speak and then we act. Normally we're more comfortable with words than action. But Paul reminds us here that to become a living sacrifice is not less than loving, caring, life-giving words, but it is so much more than words. And we see this especially in the death of Jesus, in this gift that he keeps referring to. Friends, Jesus said some things from the cross. He spoke truth on the cross. But the power of those words were realized through his life-giving action. His words meant what they meant because of his action on the cross. And so living sacrifices are subversive servants. They hide great treasures in jars of clay. And living sacrifices are holistic servants. They serve with actions and with words. This is what it means to be a living sacrifice, to be a subversive servant, to be a holistic servant. Well, how do we become one? How do we become like Jesus? How do we become living sacrifices? Well, Paul tells us in verse 15 that the key to becoming a living sacrifice is thanksgiving. We're to receive with gratitude the gifts of God. And then in deep gratitude, with great thanksgiving, we're to remake, repackage, and re-gift that in service to others. You see, it's impossible to be a living sacrifice without thanksgiving. Without thanksgiving, your life will become twisted, distorted, narcissistic, tragic. And it's impossible to be thankful without becoming a living sacrifice. Thanksgiving will cause you to want to reciprocate the gift that you have been given. And friends, we have been given so much. We've been given so much individually. We've been given so much collectively. As a community, we've been given so much. We've been given so many gifts and so many graces. We've been given this gift of this amazing campus. We want to use it well. We want to be a community that receives all of God's gifts with thanksgiving and that becomes living sacrifices more and more in his name. We want to be a community. We want to be people who subversively serve others, who holistically serve others. We want to receive the gifts of God with thanksgiving and remake and repackage those gifts to be a blessing to others. So what are some ways in which we can do that? What are some applications of becoming living sacrifices? Well, I want us to look briefly through the lens of our talents, our time, and our treasure. First, become a living sacrifice with your talents. Use the gifts, use the graces that God has entrusted to you. Use them subversively. Use them holistically to serve others. Use them for Christ and his kingdom and not for your own self-gain. have a friend who's an incredible writer. He's been gifted by God to be a writer, and he's exceptionally gifted. And he wanted to use this gift to bless others. But he didn't really know how. He had a heart for kids in kind of lower income, underprivileged schools. And he wanted to bless them with the gift of writing, for them to enjoy the power of words. And so in his desire to be a living sacrifice, he began to pray about how God might use this gift of writing to be a blessing to others, especially some kids in his community. And God began to open up amazing doors in his public school. And he started a program where he would go into that school and teach these kids how to write, how to love words. And God began to give him amazing opportunities to embody the grace that he had received through his writing, to become a subversive servant, to become a holistic servant in giving away the talent that he had received. You may not start a writing program like my friend, but you can still use your talents to subversively and holistically serve others for Jesus' sake. Second, become a living sacrifice with your time. We all have busy lives. We all have full lives. But we also can make time to become living sacrifices, to give ourselves to opportunities to serve. In our community, there's lots of ways for you to serve right now. We have lots of internal needs, especially in light of our children's ministry program. And we also have lots of external needs as our ministries want to expand and grow, as we want to extend the grace that we have received to others in our community and in our city. And so we're seeking to do that well. And we're going to do that in some particular ways this summer through VBS and through the Summer Scholars Program in conjunction with Side by Side Kids that we've announced. A couple weeks ago when Sly gave his announcement about Summer Scholars, 20 of you signed up to serve in that way. Thank you. Thank you. We need more. We need more for Summer Scholars. We need more for VBS. For Summer Scholars, we're seeking to welcome at least 30 lower-income kids from our community for 2 weeks. And so there's lots of time and lots of opportunity to serve there. We've also been telling you about an opportunity through Side by Side Kids for them to start an after-school program at Oak Hill Elementary School just down the road from us. And God has answered our prayers. They have an open door to begin there this fall. And they're going to have lots of needs for volunteers, for mentors to go in after school and to come alongside those kids and love those kids well. Another need and another opportunity that we're becoming aware of is at Oak Hill as well. They have need for lunchtime tutors, lunchtime mentors. The time commitment is only 30 minutes a week to show up and sit one-on-one and have lunch with a kid. It's a great way for us to seek to be living sacrifices and to subversively love and serve those around us. A number of us have signed up, and in the fall, you'll be hearing more opportunities about how you can sign up. I've been placed with a mentor and or a mentee. I am a mentor to someone, and I am seeking to build a relationship with a young man who is in need of a lot of love in his life, who's in need of a lot of loving actions and loving words, who's without father, without mother, who even is without a home, who is seeking to do his best to care for himself and to care for his siblings on his own. And as I'm sitting down to befriend him and get to know him, I want to do what this text calls me to be a subversive servant, to be a holistic servant in giving away some of our time. Third, become a living sacrifice with your treasure. Being a sacrifice is costly. It costs us our talents, it costs us our time, and it costs us our treasure. As a church, our budget goes to many different things. And one of the beautiful things about being a part of a church and giving to a church is that when you give to the church, you give to many, many different organizations, many, many different partnerships. For us, we've got international partners, domestic partners, and local partners. Our church is privileged to receive your gifts and to repackage and remake and reshape and re-gift them to others around our city and around the world. And we're thankful for that. Thank you for your generosity. But we also have in our community about 26 people who don't, or 26% of our people, 26% of our people who don't give anything to All Saints. And so we need to grow in being living sacrifices, in giving our treasure away. Because we'd love to do more. We'd love to receive more gifts so that we can repackage them and be a blessing to others. We want to do more, and we can do more. Some of you are being very faithful in being living sacrifices in this way. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your example. Some of us are struggling. Some of us have lots of things going in our lives and lots of expenses. I understand. I know that. Continue to try to give faithfully and generously. And some of us, as I said, are just ignoring this. And if that's you, we need to stop. We need to receive the gift of Christ that we've been given, this great gift of God's amazing love for us. And we need to repackage it and re-gift it in giving some of our treasure away. We all need to be more and more captured and captivated by the gifts of God that we have lavishly received. His Son, His Spirit, His love, His life. And as we're captivated by this, captivated by His grace, that's the only way that we're going to turn around and give some of our treasure away. And friends, as a church, we have an opportunity to do this. Next week, we're going to have a special offering. It's going to be in conjunction with the regular offering. But if you'd like to give above and beyond giving normally to our church, there's going to be a way for us to give a one-time gift to Side by Side Kids. We've mentioned their needs through the Summer Scholar Program, their needs in starting at Oak Hill next fall. And we've committed to helping them in that. And we're asking you to help us to do that well. So all these things in terms of being living sacrifices and giving grace to more and more people, it's costly. And so we want you to prayerfully think about taking up a special offering, taking some of your treasure, even a little bit more than you normally give, and give it to Side by Side Kids. So be prayerful and intentional about how you might participate. Friends, we have received amazing gifts. We've received the very life of God. And in receiving that gift, we are to remake, repackage, re-gift that gift to others in countless ways by becoming living sacrifices ourselves, by becoming subversive servants, by becoming holistic servants. Our calling, your calling, my calling is to become living sacrifices. And by God's grace, we can fulfill this more and more as we turn to Jesus, the true, the perfect, the full, the complete, the final sacrifice for us, who constantly gives himself back to us over and over and over again through his word, his spirit, his people, and his sacraments. And so let's, as a community, keep receiving the gifts of God for us, the people of God, and then repackage and re-gift them in giving them back to others to seek to extend grace to more and more people. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you are the great gift giver and that you've especially given us this gift of your Son. You've given it to us in jars of clay. You've given it to us in our weak bodies. And you call us to be living sacrifices. And so help us to do that well for the sake of your kingdom, as we seek to give a little bit more of our talents and our time and our treasures back to you. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.